The Flint water crisis has brought attention to a larger issue, and that is, why do we see more contamination issues, more pollution issues in areas where poor people and often people of color live? Joining me to discuss this phenomenon is Guy Williams. He's the president and CEO of Detroiters Working for Environmental Justice. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Lester.
The story is Flint right now. It's getting a lot of attention, but the water is just the beginning of the story there. I mean, it's been an industrial city. There are legacy pollution issues, meaning that pollution is still there from past factories. There's older housing stock, which means lead paint, for example. So when you've got a big issue like a water distribution system contaminated by lead, how are these other issues affected?
Detroiters Working for Environmental Justice, how we're responding to this crisis in Flint is recognizing that it's bringing a whole level of awareness to different audiences who typically are not really paying much attention to environmental issues that we work in all the time. It's great for a place like Flint, even though it's such a horrible circumstance, it's really great to see the positive and strong reaction to be helpful and supportive and to have the right thing done there. You know, you might call it a halo effect where the heightened awareness will have beneficial impact on the issues we serve. One case in point is Mayor Duggan in Detroit. Last week or so at the City Council's hearing for Marathon Oil's permit request, he came out very strongly against that permit expansion.
Right, said he'd file a lawsuit. I want to talk about terms, though. We've been kind of tiptoeing around this and calling it environmental justice. The real term that I really want to talk to you about is environmental racism. I mean, how do you explain environmental racism to people who don't see it as a racist issue?
Just look at the data. The data that's been done over decades since the 80s on through to now, in every case, the dominant variable shows race as a variable as opposed to poverty levels or anything of that sort that indicate who's being poisoned the most. It's people of color, as opposed to white people, the dominant population nationwide.
Let's talk about Delray, since you brought up Marathon Oil. In the past, we've seen a lot of coverage. It's Michigan's most polluted zip code. Nearby are steel mills, coal-burning plants, the Marathon Oil refinery, as you mentioned, and it's stepping up its refining of Canadian tar sands oil, asking for increased permits to pollute, as you said. Severstal Steel asked for permits to pollute more. The Gordie Howe Bridge, the new bridge from Canada to Detroit, will land in Delray, that same zip code. And all that pollution is going to mean a lot more health problems for the people there. So what are we to make of all of that? All this is happening, and it's already the most polluted zip code in the state.
I'm not sure what the rest of the world makes of it. What the people in zip code 48217, for example, have been saying ever since I moved to Michigan 20 years ago, they need protection and they need relief. And they're not the only ones. What's so egregious is that a place that it's so easy to articulate the harm and the risk is still not getting relief. And to be fair, it really starts at the federal level and the Clean Air Act and associated elements of those rules. And so there are no rules that are protective enough so that areas where we are subjected to overlapping pollutants, that's where the change has to be made. Now, all states can make a choice to be more protective. In the case of Michigan, that's what we desperately need to have happen. We need leadership from the governor and the legislature to get real and acknowledge these problems and do something about it. Back to your previous question, this would be a perfect time for them to do the right thing and leverage the momentum and the willingness of folks to bring extra resources and make these things happen.
It seems to me you have to get a lot of people active. You got to get the corporations talking to you. You got to get the regulators on board. You have to get the government to act if the corporations won't budge. Where do you start?
The best opportunity right now is the same leadership that Mayor Duggan exhibited recently. We're really hoping that he carries that momentum across the whole array of opportunities to make change for Detroit and that environment, that he works with the council to step up their standards and look for ways to create more stringent protection than the state's putting forth right now?
I think about the only thing that Duggan can do is use his bully pulpit. I mean, we saw that with Mayor Daley in Chicago when BP refinery in Whiting, Indiana, not even in the mayor's state, started polluting more into Lake Michigan. And pretty soon, U.S. senators were involved, other governors around Lake Michigan were involved saying, hey, you cannot do this. Do you think that Duggan has that kind of influence with the politicians in this state to help him stop more pollution from not just Marathon, but the other entities in that area?
Well, we're hoping to give him a tool for exactly doing that. Detroit is working for environmental justice, and our coalition partners in the Detroit Climate Action Collaborative have been working, and particularly in the lead with Wayne State's Environmental Law Clinic. We've been working on a draft legislation around climate change, and we feel that that could be a great tool to set a precedent for local control over pollution.
When pollution is elevated, society, of course, pays a cost. It's either the higher cost of products of industry that reduce pollutants or higher health care costs to treat kids' asthma and all the other health issues that occur because of pollution. Corporations only have an obligation to make money for the shareholders, and government wants a humming economy. So how do we work in the human factor?
Fines.
Fines.
They've got to pay the price. The enforcement has to be more strong for what is in place. As a society, we have to be less tolerant and more understanding of the actual harm and drag on society that these health impacts have. It's a huge, huge impact on health and drag on the economy.
Now, you have the option of the courts, as you just suggested. A lot of environmental groups have used the courts. I'm wondering what happens when you go to legislators who don't live in those areas, who don't have constituents who live in those areas like Flint or Delray. What's the conversation like with them when you try to show them there's harm being done to Michigan citizens? Can you please do something about it?
Well, unfortunately, much of the rhetoric is very polarized along party lines right now, so you just don't get much consideration. One of the things our organization tries to do is periodically hold bipartisan forums where we bring legislators to the city. We help them meet folks who are directly impacted by these things. We take them on tours. And I think slowly over time that has made a difference. But fundamentally, we just need more leadership from people like the governor and the mayor to step up.
I talked to the Capitol Bureau Chief for Michigan Public Radio Network, Rick Pluta, and asked him about the energy overhaul that's being considered in Lansing. And he says, right now, you know, it's about competition between utilities, and it looks like they're considering things such as whether to allow burning used tires to be considered a renewable fuel, which just expands the definition. It doesn't really do anything for escalating renewable fuel. Not so much about substantially reducing pollution. That's been chiefly done, as you mentioned earlier, by the US EPA. How does the Flint water debacle change the picture in Lansing, or does it?
It's not clear. The jury's still out from what I can see. I mean, when you have people going on media saying, oh, I had my blood tested and I'm fine, that shows you what we're up against. I mean, that's someone who really hasn't done his homework. He doesn't know the protocol for how the lead moves through adults. But to just go out there and say it's all a hoax, that's just crazy.
Guy Williams is president and CEO of Detroiters Working for Environmental Justice. Thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.